That takes us to tonight's subtitle. Jesus gives us an example of overcoming suffering. When I follow Jesus, he gives me an example of overcoming suffering. So the subtitle for tonight's message is Victory Over Suffering. Victory Over Suffering. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Victory Over Suffering. Well, first, we have to understand what suffering is. What is suffering? Suffering is to experience the affliction commonly shared by humanity because of living in a world devastated by sin. Suffering is to experience the affliction commonly shared by humanity because of living in a world devastated by sin. That's what suffering is. It is common affliction. It is the type of affliction that all of us experience. And it is affliction that we experience because the world is sinful. Suffering can be physical. It can be mental. Or it can be spiritual. And oftentimes when we go through intense suffering, it's a combination of one or of two or more of those things. Suffering can be physical, mental, or spiritual. And here's the thing about suffering. No one is immune from it. Amen. I don't care how much money you have, how much power you have, success, beauty, or youth. No one is immune from suffering. And because of that, everybody desires to have victory over it. Victory over suffering is one of the chief pursuits of mankind. All of us want to overcome suffering. We want to be victorious. So how are we victorious over suffering? Well, Jesus carries us to victory over our suffering by giving us his example to follow. Now, before we get into what his example is, we have to be clear. Because I said that suffering is the affliction commonly shared by humanity. But sometimes suffering is caused by our own sinfulness. So we're not talking about overcoming that type of suffering. See, if I am suffering because of my own sinful actions, then the solution is to change. That's the solution. So if I have caused suffering in my life, to overcome that suffering, I have to change. But we're talking about the afflictions that come that we don't cause, the things that we experience that are not because of our actions, those things that we go through and we can't help it, we can't stop it, we can't prevent it. That's the type of suffering that I'm talking about. How did Jesus overcome suffering? Well, our scripture for tonight is going to be 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 19 through 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. And Peter says in the scripture, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now we're going to take this scripture and we're going to break it down verse by verse. Verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience sake, or is conscious toward God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What Peter is saying here is when you endure pain and sorrow, because you have an inner prompting that you must conform to God's will, God is pleased with that. That whenever on the inside you are prompted to do what is right, to please God, that is pleasing to him. And when you do that, it draws his divine help and protection. That's what verse 19 is saying. He goes on to verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So he goes on to say, what credit do you deserve if you endure violent mistreatment after you violated the law? That's what he's saying here. You don't deserve any credit if you endure suffering and you have caused it. He said, but if you endure mistreatment after doing the right thing, now this is commendable to God. This is the type of thing that draws his divine help and his divine protection. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. He's saying, for this Christian life is the life that you have been called into. This is the life that you have been called into. And you've been called into this life because Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. And we have been called to live this blessed life and have the privileges and responsibility in that he gave his life for us. But when he suffered for us, he also did something else. This scripture is saying that when he suffered for us, he also left behind a pattern. He left behind a pattern. And he left this pattern behind. He set it before you so that you can imitate the pattern. In other words, this scripture is telling us to literally tread in his steps. So look at how Jesus walked and tread behind in his steps. And then verses 22 through 24 tell us what that example is. What did Jesus do? What example did he leave us to overcome suffering? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He's saying this is the pattern. He did nothing that required repenting. He did nothing that required being forgiven. He didn't deceive anyone. When abuse was heaped upon him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he did not threaten revenge, but he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. He committed himself to the Father, and he personally took upon himself our sins, carried them to the cross. And in doing so, we are dead to sin, and now we can live holy. So what are these verses of scripture saying to us? What is the pattern that Jesus left for us to follow? I have three very simple points. In the face of suffering, Jesus, the Son of Man, point number one, did not sin. In the face of suffering, Jesus, the Son of Man, did not sin. He did nothing that required repentance. We just learned he didn't deceive anyone. He didn't retaliate. He didn't threaten revenge. In the face of suffering, he did not sin. Church, when you suffer, do not sin. Now that seems so obvious. It seems like such an obvious statement. But when we suffer, we are in a weakened condition. And when we are in a weakened condition, our carnal flesh starts to talk to us. And when that happens, what the adversary does is he uses temptation to draw us away from God. See, what the adversary does is he presents the temptation as the solution to your problem. He presents the temptation as the solution to your problem. So he gets us to a place where we start to feel like, if I just give in to this temptation, you know, I'm suffering so. If I just give in to this temptation, I will get some relief. Consider for a minute what Minister McClendon taught a couple of weeks ago. When she taught on temptation, think back to what Jesus went through in the wilderness. When he was in the wilderness and he was alone and he had fasted for 40 days, at the end of that, the scripture says that he was a-hungered. And so undoubtedly, he was suffering greatly in his physical body. So what did the adversary do? He's in this place of suffering. So the adversary comes along and presents him with a solution. Your suffering will be over if you just turn those stones to bread. That's what the adversary does. Are you suffering? Take matters into your own hands. You don't have to keep dealing with this. You don't have to put up with this. So the adversary starts to tell you to do whatever is necessary to get the relief that you're looking for. He'll tell you to lie and cheat and steal and manipulate your way through. Why? Because he's trying to convince us that it will relieve our pain. Are you suffering? What are you going through? Then he comes along and he wants us to give in to the excesses of the flesh. That's why when people go through difficult times, they oftentimes turn to alcohol and drugs and food and sex and anything that causes us to be excessively into the flesh, because the adversary is presenting the temptation as the solution to the problem. Because I just want some relief. I want relief from how I'm feeling. And he's always offering relief through sin. The adversary is always offering us relief through sin. So if your marriage is suffering, he says, have an extramarital affair. If you're struggling to make it in life, he causes you to go and spend excessively. If you're feeling overwhelmed with life and life responsibilities, he tells you, go be reckless. Why? I'm trying to get relief from this suffering. And the adversary is constantly trying to convince us that if we sin instead of trust God, then it will alleviate the pain that we're going through. Church, we must be watchful. Whenever you suffer, guard against temptation. Whenever you go through any suffering, guard against temptation, because the adversary has all kinds of solutions to your problem. And he's just waiting to offer them to you. But the reality is, when we give in to sin, as we go through suffering, it produces greater suffering. Because now I have to deal with the suffering, and I have to deal with the consequences of my sin. I have suffering going on. I have after effects going on. I got all this stuff going on at the same time. And the adversary will get us into this snowball effect. So now we pursue more and more sin, more and more unrighteousness, more and more drugs, and more alcohol, more and more pornography, all of these different things. Why? Because I'm trying to get relief. But sin will not give us the relief that we're looking for. We must walk in Jesus' example. It sounds so simple, and it seems